Thursday, high 97. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Good morning and welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Phone lines will open the first 30 minutes, 205-342-9904. Also have the phone lines open in the second hour. Kevin Skarbinski will join us as usual at the bottom of the hour. Download the app. Get the Tide 100.9 app. As football season gets here, you certainly want to have the app downloaded. You also can send us an app message throughout the show. They have articles that come out every single day now with practice going on. So make sure you get the app so you can get all of that information there. If you want to email us, that's easy, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build a five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice there. Chase, go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer closest to you. And if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. We're getting closer. It's just a long, when you start hearing it's 30-something days, football doesn't sound like that long. Then these guys start practicing. Then you start looking at the calendar, and you realize it's a grind until these guys actually get to line up against somebody else. So we're still a ways away from that. So these guys are still getting ready for Alabama's, that is, the first scrimmage here this Thursday, and that probably could tell us a lot about where maybe some of these position battles will end up. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Been okay. On a sadder note, Kermit Davis, who's a longtime friend, basketball coach at Mississippi State, his son, Kermit Jr., Barry, worked for him. I've been knowing Kermit Jr. for a long time. He's coached a lot of different places. Kermit was 91. His struggles a little bit mind-wise, but passed away yesterday. I talked with Kermit yesterday, and I said he didn't think his dad was going to make it through the day, and he did not. And he lives over in Tupelo, Mississippi, and the service will be over there. So for those of you who kept up with basketball and stayed in the SEC for a number of years, and Kermit Davis will be one that comes to mind. He had some really good teams and really, really a good friend of mine, good friend of a lot of our coaches in the league, so sure he would hate that.
Yeah.
I couldn't find Enos Watley's phone number. I had it somewhere. Today's his birthday. I need to, if anybody has that, if you just send it to Barry, let Barry give it to me. I'd appreciate it. I've lost it for somewhere or another, but today's Enos's birthday. He's up in Maryland, a terrific player for us, took the ball to the basket in the Kentucky game, missed a little layup shot, and Eddie Phillips put it back in to beat Kentucky at Kentucky for the SEC championship. And highly recruited player out of the state. The Williams kid, a big Williams kid that played at Alabama, has gotten a new 105-year deal with Cowboys, which is terrific for him. They are honoring Archie Manning with a statue that will be set up outside of the stadium in his honor. Archie was certainly a great player at Ole Miss, and the family's been very successful in football wise. So that's about it. Kevin Skarbinski will be on our show, and we'll take your calls and see what we need to talk about.
I just sent you Enos's number, so you got
Thank
it now. Yeah, Enos, great player. All right, I'm hearing, you know, a lot of Auburn fans that are optimistic. Of course, you know, this happens every year. I think last year, there's a big Auburn fan here. I mean, she's a big fan, and she was not wrong. But after that Baylor game, I saw her, and she was talking to some people, and Jackson Arnold played so well. If you remember, he used his legs, and he ran all through Baylor, and I remember her saying, "We finally got us a quarterback," and we got us a quarterback, and that was after the first game. That's why I caution people to let things play out. We say, you know, this is the best of this and that and the other. And obviously it played out, and Jackson Arnold was not a very good quarterback. They start getting film on these guys, and if you can only run, and then they take away the run. And the SEC, that has been good. I don't think it's been great here lately. The Big Ten's pounding their chest about what they've done. But I want to ask you, this is a prediction, and I probably need to pump the brakes as well, but I think Florida and Auburn got the hires right. If I were guessing now, if you wanted to say, hey, what do you predict? Do you think Florida, and I don't know how good they'll both be this year, but I think they got some ball coaches down there that they just – seem to love ball. They're pretty tough guys. And the league has been good but not great, because Florida and Auburn honestly haven't been very good. And that's two of the more historic programs in the SEC. What are your feeling on these two guys? Obviously, we're making a prediction here. I think these guys are going to do a lot better than maybe what's been going on down in the past. Maybe the guy that's at UNLV, they got rid of him too early. But what are your thoughts about Auburn and Florida and what you've heard out of these hires and what you've seen so far without even a game being played?
You know, the outside looking in, I think you're correct. I think that you get guys who sort of know how to win. Winning at South Florida is just as important at Auburn, and you have to be organized and know what you're trying to do. I think he believes in the running game, which I think is going to be big at Auburn. And he comes into that attitude. That was probably one of the things that got John to sell him, was the running game he's going to take. They would bring a quarterback with him that we feel like it going in has a good chance. So I think they're good. And I think, you know, when Coach comes in from Tulane, he knows what he's doing. He's won on a tough league, because Tulane's hard for Tulane to beat people, and done that. So I would agree with both of you, both assessments that both these guys are going to do a very good job. Don't ever know. We don't know a lot about the kid from Memphis, the coach from Memphis that came into Arkansas, and I would say also that he probably came into a situation where the job was even more difficult at Arkansas than it was at Florida and Auburn. So I would say, I don't know about that, but I would agree with you on those.
Why did Billy Napier and Hugh Freeze not work? You would have thought those two man, Hugh Freeze is a relentless recruiter. He's done it at Ole Miss. He understands the SEC. He recruited pretty well when he first got there. Why did Hugh Freeze not work at Auburn?
I think staff wise, he didn't get his staff the way he wanted it. I don't think his staff was a relentless, hardworking, you know, go about it in the right kind of way deal. He got his publicity by beating Coach twice. I think it was twice, maybe once or twice, and when he was coaching, and had some good thoughts about him, because he had won some big games and he'd done some things coaching wise that people thought surprised the opponent. And I just think the coaching staff never hit it off on him. You know, they can call about golf they want to. He golf didn't cost his job.
I think the mistakes at the quarterback spots what killed him. He never had a good quarterback, to be honest with you, down there. I think you got to have a good quarterback, and I think he thought he could just coach him up. And I don't know, you can talk about coaching him up, but you better have a guy with some talent. And Peyton, whatever, I can't even remember the guy's name they had from Michigan State or whatever, and then Jackson Arnold. I don't think they've ever been good behind center. Do you?
No, not really.
And then what about Billy Napier? Why, he was close. Injuries, he seemed like a good recruiter. He seemed like a guy that knew the league. And for whatever reason.
He didn't have a quarterback either, son. He had a quarterback that was just good enough to get you beat.
Yeah.
And I think that was a caution for him.
Yeah. And then you turn and you think about Kalen DeBoer. He's done well. Not great, but he's done well last year. Getting to the playoff was good, but there's some glaring losses there. And we'll see. Will he make it in the long? Will he be the guy that's here for the long haul? And I think the Alabama fans right now are optimistic. Everybody's optimistic this time of year, but there are some question marks about this program here that probably haven't been there in the past. And there's a question mark about a lot of these programs. I don't know anything about this new guy at Kentucky. I think this guy at Arkansas, I think he's inherited him. When you bring in 80 new players, I mean, it's just hard to judge what you think of these new guys there. But I was just interested if Florida and Auburn could pick it up and be pretty darn good, then the league really rises, in my opinion. All right, you guys are more than welcome to chime in on that. We'll take the break. First break here. We get back. We got Philip on hold. We'll talk to Philip when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we're now inside your prime time, and traffic is still on the quieter side for your Tuesday ride. And remember, kiddos are back in school, so increased bus traffic you'll have there. In the meantime, we're looking good on McFarland so far between Academy and
900-9000. That's 900-9000 for a free consultation. No fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours.
340 or visit SkilledTradesOfWestAlabama.com to apply. Skilled Trades of West Alabama. Learn a trade, build a career. Must be 19 to 32 for day trade school.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The miserable, muggy weather is going to continue to stay with us each day here through the end of the week with a pop-up shower or storm chance each afternoon. 93 our high today. Heat index values around 105. Sunshine, warm and humid with afternoon storms. Low tonight, 76. 95 tomorrow. Pop-up showers and storms are expected, and the same holds true for Thursday, high 97.
Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And Yellowwood Pressure Treated Great Southern, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Morning, Philip.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Barry, I tell you what, I feel like this Jared Johnson, hire for Alabama as our analyst is going to pay some great dividends. I think this guy is really going to help Alabama.
In what way?
I just love his intensity. I just think the intensity he brings, and I mean, I thought he was just a great player at Alabama. He was damn near unblockable when he played. Had a 12-year pro career. Just parlaying all that into what he's doing right now as his role as an analyst and his on-field coaching that he's giving these guys, I think is to me, it's pretty exciting to see.
So he's a guy that's wearing the equipment out there and taking on the players. And, you know, sometimes it's you know, you try to teach, and then sometimes you get there and you just do it, and it's nice to have a guy probably that's young enough to get out there and maybe actually put on some pads and show them exactly how to do it. So I think sometimes people learn better by seeing than hearing. Maybe that is something that will translate, especially the younger kids as they come through the program.
I bet when they first met him, they didn't realize what they were going to get. You know, when they met him, but he's been a real exciting thing for me, Joe Fan, to watch when I'm watching these videos at night and watching him out there show these guys how it's done. And yesterday's video, I'd encourage everybody to go look at that. It was really fun to watch. But he's not the only one. I think this Mo Lindquist is his intensity level is way up there. I don't know if you've had a chance to see him either on some of these films that they show on all these podcasts in the evening, but he's been impressive, and I love this tight end coach, and I think Coach Clem is going to pay big dividends to the line. It feels to me, just from what I'm seeing and reading, is they're not going to do quite as much rotating in and out this year, and that they're going to try to settle on, pretty much a consistent lineup across the front.
Well, you just got to, man, as you start playing these games in September, the heat on that turf can be, I remember one game I went to last year was the Wisconsin game. I couldn't stay past halftime. And I normally walk out in the heat but it was so hot. And so you got to have depth, especially in September when the temperatures are what they're going to be when you're playing here, and you can add 20 degrees probably on that turf out there. So they're going to have to rotate guys just for injuries and just for heat and those types of things. So,
well, that's true now, but maybe not to the extent that they did last year. And I'll tell you one thing too, Barry. I've done here in the last few days. I've started finally looking at this roster and just writing down the names and the numbers and all that, because we've had some number changes, like Red Morgan, he changed his number. Yanze Pierre changed his number to 0 and all that stuff. But if you look at all the names, there's not a guy on there hardly that I come across that's on scholarship that I can say he won't help. He can't play or he won't help. He'll never see the field. Just about everybody I could see them having a role in some way. It's good depth. I think they've got good depth.
Did you see the picture, Dad? Did y'all see the picture of the team? I think they were in the stadium, had the staff and all the people behind and the team. Did you see that?
I just looked at it. Yeah.
Why did they do? Here's what I don't understand. Auburn did one, and they must have had a woman in there that got those guys lined up. They looked so much cleaner than what the Alabama one looked. And the reason I didn't like the Alabama one was it wasn't as clean. And I'm not sure if Auburn did this, so I got to go back and look. But I wish they would do it. And I guess you can't do it because of size, but you start from the lowest number and go in across in order where you can pull, you want to look for somebody and you can easily pull up. They got these numbers just scattered all through the thing. Yeah. How do you find out who's who in that picture, Philip?
Yeah, I know they did that on the slave and then have them all mixed up.
Yeah.
But you know, that generates another topic there. It's funny how we can just feed off topics, but the script A was not evident on the uniform this weekend at Fan Day. And that was sort of, a big tip off to me that the patch is going to come.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. It's amazing, like all the managers and stuff. Like Auburn, I've never seen so many people in my entire life that weren't players that were sitting in this, that got their picture made. I don't know how anybody would even know all these people's name. It's a lot of people.
It's an army of people, and yeah. That's for sure. But that's a big payroll in it there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, well all right, hey, buddy.
Tell Kevin I enjoyed his podcast the other night. I listened to it. It was great.
All right, thank you.
See y'all.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. We haven't talked to this guy in a while. What's up, Bryce?
Well, hello, gentlemen. How we doing?
Hey, Bryce. Good morning.
Hey, guys, I like that Phillip's enthusiastic, but I'm not that enthusiastic. I'm just going to take it one game at a time, see what happens.
What's your feeling about this team? I understand pumping the brakes. That's what I've been trying to tell people. What are you worried about, Bryce?
Well, I just hope we get a quarterback because there's a reason why he had to play hurt all year last year. You know?
You talking about
Ty? Because the number two wasn't ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the line, if the line's no better, we can't run the football. It's going to be a long season. I hope they got that took care of, you know? But, hey, on a prediction I got, I think Auburn will be 500 football.
You think
if not less.
500? So you're not buying Alex Golish?
No, that's not who they wanted. You know who they wanted.
Who'd they want?
They wanted Summerall.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's a good coach. And they say that's who they wanted. He told them no. I mean, yeah, that's... And the reason why he freaked it, mate, he's too arrogant, Barry and Coach.
Yeah. You know,
and that's the reason why he didn't make it. He wanted to call the plays. He didn't want nobody else calling the plays. And it backfired on him, you know?
Well, I don't think they did a very good job of finding the right quarterback, do you?
No. No. He thought he was the quarterback whisperer like Kiffin.
Yeah.
You know it. He hit lightning in the bottle twice to beat Coach. And Auburn, they'll hire anybody that can beat Alabama. You know that, and I know that, Barry. So how's Jack? Is he still going to Shelton State?
No, he's going over to Alabama. He's just going to be a student at Bama, yeah.
And so is he going to play ball?
I don't think he's going to play, no.
Well, you know, it's such crazy. Just like my nephew that was so good. I thought he was going to go to junior college and work his way back up. He got burnt out, too.
Yeah. Well, it's junior college is about the route you have to go now as a high school kid with the transfer portal and all that. So just make sure – where is he going to go, you know, Bryce?
Do what now?
Where is he – what junior college is he going to?
No, he's not going.
Oh.
He's not going to play ball.
He's not going to play. I got you.
I guess he's like Jack. He got burnt out. I don't know.
Yeah. So, well, Jack
making those changes.
Burn out. Just never really came back from that injury like he wanted to, and so
I think that's what happened to Tucker. Yeah. You know, but he hurt his knee and he never come back, and he just got fed up.
Yeah.
But hey, it's good to talk to you guys. How y'all been? How's it, grandbaby?
Grandbaby's great. Did Bryce ever take you to Lashes to eat?
No, I don't think so.
Never did.
You know, they got two locations now, Coach.
Uh-oh. Y'all growing.
They got Joe Wheeler State Park.
Yeah. That's up near home.
You still going to Lashes a lot, Bryce?
I had been there a lot, man. I started a new job, and I hadn't been over there. I'm headed to Florence now. But they won't be open when I leave. I got to go get some mechanic work done.
There you go.
Car repair. But I hadn't been over there in a while.
Yeah. Well, Bryce, don't be a stranger. We appreciate you calling. We're going to get to Kevin. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. There's Bryce. We haven't heard of Bryce in a while. Hey, I've been on Pro Wash. My good friend Andy Henson. He knows you're proud of your property, but the dirt, mold, grime on your brick, stucco, or siding makes even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential, commercial exterior cleaning, low-pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restorations. You can get those driveways and sidewalks cleaned up for you. Get that done before football because you don't want to fool with it on the weekends once football gets starting. They also have a drone that can go get the hard-to-get areas. Estimates are free, so give them a call. 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service for your home or business when you call my good friend Andy Henson out at Alabama Pro Wash. List of Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we're now inside your prime time, and traffic is still on the quieter side for your Tuesday ride. And remember, kiddos are back in school, so increased bus traffic you'll have there. In the meantime, we're looking good on McFarland so far between Academy and
42. 205-339-6540, or visit us at adamssvcs.com. We look forward to serving you.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Go again. The Gator XUV, built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Yellowwood pressure 35 from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. We'll get right to the Yellowwood hotline. You heard Phillips. He listened to Kevin's podcast. How much he enjoyed that, obviously. So he writes for AL.com. Also has his own podcast. He'll tell you about all that at the end of the segment. Joins us every Tuesday. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Good morning, guys. I'm good. Hope you are, too.
Good. Go ahead, Dad.
If there's something wrong with Alabama football, some think it is and some think it isn't, and some of us don't know. If you had to pinpoint your expertise on, you know, I got a new coach come in and all that, what's the biggest problem we have with Alabama football?
I think the biggest problem is perception right now, to be honest, because Nick Saban's shadow, his literal and physical shadow, still hovers over the program. And so everything that Kalen DeBoer does or doesn't do gets compared to what Saban did or didn't do. And obviously that's an impossible standard to maintain. It's incredible that Saban maintained it for so long. But people seem to forget that the conditions under which Nick Saban built Alabama football into a dynasty don't exist anymore. You know, Nick didn't coach when there was NIL, at least not most. It came in at the end of his tenure. He didn't have to deal with the transfer portal where guys didn't have to sit and develop. They stayed and grew and were ready when their turn came. And they were also one of the best things that he did was, and here I am talking about Nick Saban. You're asking about Alabama football now. This is part of the problem. But one of the greatest things he did was convince guys, look, if you come here and if you work, when your time comes, your time will come, and you will get paid on the back end. You will profit because you will be a high NFL draft choice. You'll sign big contracts in the NFL, and guys did that. But it's a different world now. And I don't think anybody is going to have the kind of sustained success that Alabama had in that era. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't hold Kalen DeBoer to a high standard. You should. But people forget, people forget history. Kalen DeBoer has won more games in his first 2 years than any of the five coaches at Alabama that won national championships did in their first 2 years. And none of those guys won a national championship in their first 2 years. Some of them did it in their third year, including Saban. And so Gene Stallings did it in his third year. So the expectations are high. They should be high. But I think we have to introduce some realism into the conversation. And there are, of course, there are lesser problems like inability to run the ball, which is, you know, that's such a fundamental part of the sport. It's been such a fundamental part of Alabama football for so long. So many great offensive linemen through the years, so many great tight ends, so many great running backs, that the absence of it was glaring last year. And we'll see if they've taken some serious steps forward this year.
I've asked you this before, and I didn't know, and I don't really think you did either. Maybe you do now. I mean, I know what Georgia football's culture is. I know what Alabama basketball's culture is. Kevin, what is Alabama's football? What's the culture? I still don't know. Do you?
Well, again, I don't know that it's been fully defined. And what we have seen is a heavy reliance, maybe an over-reliance on the quarterback and the passing game at the expense of the running game. You know, there are a lot of reasons why Alabama hasn't run the ball well. Part of it is offensive lines that haven't lived up to their billing. Part of it is, I think, emphasis. Part of it is not having great running backs. They haven't had the same caliber of running back the last few years.
Not even close.
And that includes the end of the Saban tenure. Who was the last great Alabama running back? Jahmyr Gibbs? Jahmyr Gibbs didn't get the heavy workload in college that he's getting. He didn't get featured in college the way he is in the NFL. Now he just signed the contract to make him the highest paid NFL running back ever. And there are people that thought he was underused when he was at Alabama. So, but I don't know. I still don't know what the personality is of the program. And I think part of the reason is that Kalen DeBoer is a relatively low-key personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see snippets of a fire underneath. Like when he was asked last week about the coaches poll, the lowest preseason ranking in that poll since 2008, and his answer was very short. It was not sweet. It was terse, and he said, "We are definitely aware," and that was it. And he had kind of a wry grin on his face for a moment, but he also had a look like he was disgusted at the question and disgusted at the situation, which I think is something that Alabama fans want to see. I think they want to see a little more emotion out of him because you just had a coach who basically expressed every emotion he had every moment he had it, whether it was on the sideline during games, whether it was during the spring game, whether it was in press conferences. He would get the littlest things would bother Nick, and he would let you know about it. So Kalen is obviously more buttoned up. He's obviously more low-key, and this is a sport that's not low-key and buttoned up. This is a very emotional sport, and I think fans still want to see more of that out of him.
The SEC has been good. I asked Ed this at the beginning of the show. It has been great here lately, and probably part of the reason is Auburn and Florida honestly haven't been very good. I thought when Auburn hired Hugh Freeze and how he was such a relentless recruiter and they were doing well that it was going to work. He never figured out the quarterback. I was wrong. It didn't work. I have a feeling, Kevin, before they started playing, but just listening to them and their vision, that Florida and Auburn both got the hires right. I think both these guys will be successful. Now, time will tell. And if they get better, then, man, that really helps the league. What are your thoughts? Do you think if you were predicting now that these guys got it right at Florida and Auburn?
Oh, I definitely believe that based on what we've seen to date. As you said, they haven't coached a game yet at either of those schools, but a lot of good signs, a lot of positive signs that there's been a change. You know, when you make a change because the last guy failed, you need to make a change. You need to find someone who has a different approach, a different attitude. And both of them have certainly done that. Yeah. I mean, Billy Napier had no discernible pulse while he was coaching Florida. John Summerall is very much different. The way I always phrase it with him is he has a little crazy behind the eyes.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing as a head football coach. If you can control it, if it doesn't overwhelm you, and Nick Saban balanced that better than anybody, you know, again, having that emotion, having that fire, having that attention to detail, and then that unwillingness to accept less than anyone's best, anyone in the program, anyone in the building. Whatever you do, whatever your job is, do your job. Do it right. Do it consistently well. So, and I see that in Golish too. Some of the things he's doing, you know, this Camp Golish. No, it's not Junction. You couldn't do Junction now. You'd get arrested if you tried to do something like that. But getting the guys together, trying to build a team, trying to get guys to focus on football for 13 days before classes start. Those are all good things. And they're not out there getting pedicures and manicures and massages and playing golf. When they're at the hotel, they're basically just sleeping at the hotel. Then they get up and they go to the facility, and they're at the facility all day and they're working.
Yeah.
And then they go back and sleep at the hotel. So just things like that. Golish, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this snippet of a social media post in the last several days. When somebody makes a mistake at practice, the offenders have to get down and immediately do push-ups. Well, Golish is jumping down doing the push-ups with them. And his point was not to be, you know, showy, not to put the spotlight on him, but, hey, everybody has to take accountability. And if something goes wrong, if a player makes a mistake, yeah, it's on the player. But maybe it's also on the quarterback who threw the pass to the receiver who dropped the ball. Maybe it's on the coach who called the play. Maybe it's on the coach who didn't coach up the receiver well enough, whatever it might be. So you're all accountable when things go wrong. I think that's a great message. But both, there definitely have been plenty of signs that both Auburn and Florida are under new management, and that looks like it's a good thing because, look, when you go back to when the SEC went to another level, when they started winning all those national championships, Florida won a couple of them, Auburn won one of them, and Auburn played for another. So that you need those kind of traditional programs in the SEC to step back up because they have both fallen far below what they're capable of.
Yeah.
If the cottage provisions will act passes, I put an if in there. I don't see if that's going to straighten out completely college football, and I'm way behind it. Compared to you, you may have 5 years of eligibility. You know, you had three when I was coaching. Some things, but if they don't get everything the way they wanted about men and women playing athletics together, is passing that going to be the total answer?
Well, no, it wouldn't be, and more importantly, it's not going to pass. It's just not. Look at all of the, I've said this from the beginning. Okay. You are making a fundamental, colossal mistake if you are the leaders of college athletics and you're asking Congress to fix the system that you have broken. Congress can't fix it. Congress doesn't understand it. Look at all the last minute amendments that they tried to tack onto that bill last week. Look at all the last second maneuvering that went on. There's just far too much in the bill. They're trying to recreate the whole system or recalibrate the whole system, and that's just not going to work. You can't get enough people in Congress to agree on that bill. And then people, you know, all this excitement about, oh, well, it almost came to a vote in the Senate, and they allegedly are guaranteed a vote when they come back from their long recess in September. even if it were to pass the Senate, and I don't think that's going to happen then or ever, then it has to go to the House. And you don't think, look, there are a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions in the House of Representatives, also a lot of different intelligence levels. So you think those folks aren't going to want to make more changes and add more amendments or strip other things off? And it's a mess. It's like something that was put together by a committee. And you don't know what it is. Is it an elephant? Is it a camel? What? They should have. I've said this from the start. They should have started small. Deal with the two fundamental issues. Give them a limited antitrust exemption on two fundamental issues. How often can you transfer? What are the penalties at a certain point after a number of whatever number of transfers, whether it's one or two, whatever? And and deal with who can play college athletics. The NCAA has to be able to decide who can play college athletics. Is it a 25-year-old from Spain? Can he play basketball? Who's played in a top-level European league? Can a guy come back from the G League and play? Can a guy come back from an NFL training camp and play? And that's happening right now because of another court ruling, because of another lawsuit. There are so many different eligibility lawsuits going on right now. The NCAA couldn't even get this 5-and-5 thing right. Most people seem to agree that 5 years to play five seasons makes sense with no exceptions, with no room for appeal. Well, there were limited rooms for appeal, like pregnancy for female athletes or religious missions for male or female athletes. But generally, 5 years to play five seasons. Everyone, again, the majority seems to think that's a good idea. They couldn't even get that right because they left out the class of 2022 that just graduated. And now there's chaos on rosters. Indiana, guys, has added two defensive ends who, for various reasons, didn't stick with the NFL. Those guys are great football players. Indiana got a lot better because of one of the current court cases going on. They're going to be even tougher to deal with on defense. I'm telling you, Indiana, that's my lean, is that they're going to go back-to-back. But, again, back to your question, they need to go back. They need to throw that thing in the trash, write a bill that is narrow in scope, that gives the NCAA limited antitrust exemption to, again, decide who can play college athletics and when they can transfer. And if you do that and you can agree on that, you will solve a great deal of the issue that the issues facing college sports right now. You won't solve them all, but start small.
Well, if it does pass, let's say it does, does that allow the NCAA to make the rules and what we got to do is get it out of the court, where if you don't like something, then you just take it to a court and you try to get a judge and your area to overrule it. Well, that's got to be taken care of, Kevin, that every time you don't agree with something, you don't run to a judge and put it in court. Will that solve that if it passes?
Well, that remains to be seen. There are legal experts. I'm not one. I think I was a lawyer in another life, but as much as I feel like I could pass the bar as much as I've studied all these legal questions involving college athletics just in the last 5 years. But no, I don't think it automatically solves that because they can't even agree. Look, as the bill as written in its current form, what is it, 170-something pages now, which is, again, absurd. But they can't even agree on what this cap is, what this new cap is. They're going to add $20-something million dollars to the cap, and it's going to be revenue share. Is it going to be revenue share? And here's another problem. Can we agree? Can we strip off all the nonsense and agree? You are paying these guys to play college football or college basketball or whatever sport it is. It's not all NIL. You are paying these guys to play the sport. Can we? And I know they don't want to do that because they don't want to get into the murky area of employment and collective bargaining. But that's also a sticking point. Because if you make these rules without input from a legitimate body representing the athletes themselves, I think you're on slippery legal ground there. So, no, I don't think this bill would allow the NCAA to, okay, now we can set our rules, and now nobody can challenge them in court. I guess you can always challenge something in court. And look, if you can, there are lawyers that will.
Yeah, that.
I think I asked the best question. I don't have an answer.
Well, the other thing, Kevin, I agree with you. You got to get the portal thing. You got to get the age thing. Who's eligible? Who can't play? And you also, I think you got to get the bad agents out of this thing too. I think you should have to go through some kind of certification in order to represent these college kids and hold these people accountable. These street agents are not good. They're getting to the kids. They're talking to the schools before the kid gets in the portal. Then they come to the kid with the deals. I don't know if you're ever going to stop that, but there's got to be some kind of certification there for a guy to actually represent a kid the way they're doing.
Well, I know there are states that have laws. Alabama is one that purport to regulate agents. It's been a long time since I looked at Alabama's law. I remember there was, this goes way back. I think it was, you remember the Auburn defensive back Kevin Porter?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, I think. And he got involved with an agent, and it was an NCAA question. And it was, I think that was part of the impetus for the state of Alabama to pass a law regulating agents so they wouldn't prey on athletes. And so I agree with you. That needs to be standardized and regulated. Whether you can do it nationally, whether it has to be done state by state, that I'm not sure of. But look, just like any profession, there are good agents and then there are bad agents. And these athletes, guys and girls, they need representation. They need someone that understands the legal ins and outs of contracts, because now they're signing contracts. What do those contracts mean? What are the out clauses? What are the penalties if you break the contract? Just like coaches have. I mean, coaches are adults. Coaches are far more experienced in the ways of the world than college athletes, but they have agents. Coaches aren't out there negotiating their own contracts. So you need intelligent, fair representation. But separating the good apples from the bad apples, that's another thing that we need to get to. And I don't know what the perfect answer is for that.
Also, we have to ban uncles. Uncles cannot... uncles cannot be a part of negotiating for these kids as far as the transfer. Uncles can be a big problem, Kevin.
Hey, I'll tell you a funny story. Way back in the day, the NCAA basketball tournament was in Birmingham, and I think it was my brother was sitting in the stands with a ticket, and he was sitting next to someone who called himself Uncle Nate. And I don't even remember what team he was affiliated with, but he was telling my brother about how I helped recruit that guy and I helped recruit that guy. He was a friend of the program, as they used to be called back in the day. And he had a championship ring.
Oh yeah.
He had a championship ring from his school from a few years before. So, I hear where you're coming from on the uncle problem.
Yeah. You have to go through mama. Mama said it straight. So, anyway. All right, Kevin, tell everybody about your podcast and all your writing. We had somebody call earlier bragging on your podcast.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that. It's, well, you guys allowing me to mention it every week certainly has helped grow it. It's really taken off in the last month or so. And I imagine I hope it will continue to grow. I'm doing three a week now. And I'm doing a live chat on Sunday nights from 8 to 9. I hope, I just started that the last couple of weeks. So we're hoping to grow that so people can ask me questions directly. They can offer comments on my comments. We can talk about college football.
You and Dad fight in a chat one night. You would get a lot of
that would be entertaining, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be entertaining.
Yeah.
So, but you can go to, you can find my podcast on YouTube. My channel's name is Kevin Skarbinski. This is all one word. Kevin Skarbinski - Scarbo Knows. And like I said, I hope people will check that out. I've got one or maybe two. I've got one coming out tonight. Maybe another. I may do a second one today.
Well,
so I hope people will check it out.
You write you another one. The name of the article needs to be, How Did Indiana
get over the whole football world and beat them out.
And you need to.
We need a lot of time to underline that. But the first thing they did was get the right guy in charge.
And then everybody that listens to our show says you're an Auburn fan, and you need to tell everybody why you're an Auburn fan. You're a Barner. That's what they think you are.
I just heard an Auburn podcast that said I was an Alabama guy. Oh, so yeah. There you go.
There you go. Thank you, Kevin.
I must be doing something right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you.
All right, people. He's a Barner. Say, is he a Barner? I don't see a Barner. I think he likes the Gators. So his boys went to Florida.
But I went to Florida.
Huh?
Florida.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a Gator, but I think he likes the Gators. And he's buying these two hires, too. We'll see. Time will tell. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. Doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. We'll open the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Ryan Grubb also met with the media yesterday. We can pull that up as well. So look forward to talking to you at the 8 o'clock hour. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good morning. Here's one of the top stories we're following for you this hour. A small voter turnout of 10% or less is predicted across the state of Alabama today in congressional districts 1, 2, 6, and 7 for today's special primary election runoff. Polls are open and will remain so until 7 tonight. Four Democrats are vying for their party's nomination in District 6 in Bibb County. In District 7, there are two Republicans on the ballot. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more news. I'm Don Hartling.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dallas Cowboys gave defensive tackle Quinnen Williams a three-year extension worth just over $100 million guaranteed. In the WNBA, Seattle ended an 11-game losing streak, beating Chicago 97-88. Atlanta sent Toronto to a ninth straight loss, 107-95. Angel Reese, 20 points, 14 rebounds. And in tennis, Iga Swiatek won her quarterfinal in Toronto. To baseball, seven straight wins for Tampa Bay. The Rays scored eight times in the top of the eighth and won at the A's 10-6. Junior Caminero with his 34th homer. San Diego beat Milwaukee, the team with the best record in the majors, 3-2 in a comeback. Arizona 9-0 over Colorado, first inning grand slam from Nolan Arenado. Minnesota and Philadelphia with wins. The Mets as well saved Kodai Senga. The Mets place closer Devin Williams on the IL. 10 inning wins for Texas and Houston. Dodgers beat the Royals 6-5.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose, but we are starting to get a little more volume in the area. And as you travel on Lurleen Wallace, just spotted this accident here on the southbound lanes, just south of 5th Street. Watch out for that. It's got traffic just a bit slow, but it continues to maneuver around that.
VX Foam Free CPAP with a 5-year warranty. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarley Boulevard.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The miserable muggy weather is going to continue to stay with us each day here through the end of the week, with a pop-up shower or storm chance each afternoon. 93 our high today, heat index values around 105, sunshine, warm and humid with afternoon storms, low tonight 76, 95 tomorrow. Pop-up showers and storms are expected, and the same holds true for Thursday, high 97. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first, with analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Phone lines are open 205-342-9904. We want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Talked to Justin yesterday. Great website, guys. TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can do it all right there. You can start your trade-in. You can go ahead and get your financing taken care of. You can look at the new inventory, what they have on the lot, the pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule a service. Everybody needs to save time there. What I like is to rent a Toyota. A lot of people traveling this time of year, and you want to try it before you buy it. You can rent a Toyota right there at the website. Swing by Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. I'll ask you the same question I asked Kevin, and I don't know that you necessarily have to have a culture. I think I could tell you about certain programs and certain programs that I worked in. I could tell you what the culture was when you coached here at the university. I could tell you what Georgia's culture is. And sometimes maybe it's just kept within the building and it's not something you talk about. You know what Nate Oates' culture is with Alabama basketball. They're going to play fast. They're going to shoot threes. But also he's not tolerant of guys that don't play hard, and he will yank you out in a second. And so he demands that. What do you see as Alabama football culture? Do you know yet? Has he been there long enough for us to develop one, or is it still a work in progress?
And the reason I say that is I know we're going to talk about the big lopsided score, but the lopsided score came against everybody Indiana played. I guess that was a big thing, and to be able to come back and have a halfway decent season, I think the jury's still out. They were manhandled in that particular game as far as everybody else, and Indiana's going to win it again. So it's going to be up for grabs and up for talking about, I think, throughout until the season's over with. And the expectation factor is never going to be reached by the fans. Their expectations are that, you know, Alabama should not lose any, and, you know, should be in view of the national championship every year, and that's not easy to do because there's 15 other teams in the league, and they all spending money as well. And Big Ten is good, so I think it's something we don't know, but that we feel as fans, that there's a question mark there with Alabama football. And by the staff, whether it's players, but there's a feel there that we don't know what the quarterback system is going to be. And the most of the time, the feel is good. We feel like they've got two good quarterbacks. So, but there's a feel there, and it just going to be there until you start playing. East Carolina is a huge game just to show that you are ready to play and can go out and do well. And those first five games for Georgia are humongous games. There are games there that you can get beat if you don't play. If you don't play a new Kentucky team with a new coach and a crazy AD, then you can be trouble there. South Carolina can beat you. All things could happen. So I think just saying all that, the jury's still out a little bit.
Kevin said we're still talking about Nick Saban. We do, just because he was so good and everybody, he's around and everybody enjoys listening to him. And I think his culture, I think he changed with the times, which is why I kind of give him credit. I think there was a time there where they would just be very solid defensively. They would get a lead, and then they would literally just grind the clock out and just run it out. And then he felt like he needed to get a little bit better offensively. He brings in Lane Kiffin, and they were a faster-paced team that was scoring really fast. And so I think he kind of adjusted with the times. And I would ask you, coach is coming from Washington, although he was there for only 2 years. He was at Fresno. Is the football in the South different than it is on the West Coast? And maybe he's having to adjust from season to season because he sees maybe the weather's so different, the athletes are so different, the big linemen and all. Is he having to adjust maybe his culture from the West Coast to the South?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so because he beat the people he beat twice, Texas, getting ready to come to Alabama. I don't think there's any adjustment whatsoever. I think he takes his team and does what he needs to do with them and coaches them well. Whether the offensive coordinator was a problem, whether the line coach was a problem, I have no idea. They must have thought he was. They changed, but I don't think there is a change in that. Running football is running football, and blocking and tackling is the same place at every school and every league. So no, I don't think that. I think you just be.
So you don't think when you get to the SEC and you go through it 2 years and you look at it and say, man, I tell you what, we didn't have these kind of defensive linemen on the West Coast. We got to get better up front. We're not having
I do think you got to get better up front.
Offensive line philosophy, it worked in the West Coast, but it don't work over here in the SEC. Do you think within the league you have to kind of adjust your culture?
You're playing a tougher – you're playing nine games. You're playing tougher teams. Night in, night out. Then you played at Washington. There's no doubt about that. Somebody's the next one up is tougher than they were when you go through the schedule. But I don't see any reason for it to feel like the football is different at all. There may be a few guys that tackle you a little bit harder than the SEC, but Oregon's got good players. And I don't see that.
I think it's totally different.
I don't.
I think it's more of a fast league out there. Oregon's going to play with fast guys, and I think the stuff over here is more physical. And so we'll see. I just think it's different. I think the SEC's different. What the Pac-12?
I think it might be different in game number of games you play and the way you.
I'm just saying. I think it's different. Also, how you prepare your team through the season because you have so many knockdown, drag-out games that you probably don't have out there. And these guys get beat up. And how do you practice and how do you keep them rested when they're going through such a difficult season when they don't maybe have that at some of the other places? How do you develop depth and those types of things? I think it's different in the SEC.
I don't totally agree with that. I think the difficulty lies in the smartness in Indiana and the smartness of them getting their players they thought could win and getting them to play. That's what I think, but who knows?
All right, we'll take the break. We'll take the phone calls when we come in. If not, we'll listen to Coach Ryan Glebe. We'll take the show wherever you guys want to take it. 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we've got some heavy traffic now on Old Birmingham Highway to travel on the southbound hookup to University. And University is also stacked in both the east and westbound direction there on the hookup to 15th Old Birmingham Highway. Now, as you move about to 350.
Activate and earn 5% cash back at different categories each quarter on up to $1,500 in purchases. It pays to discover. See discover.com/5 for details.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The miserable, muggy weather is going to continue to stay with us each day here through the end of the week with a pop-up shower or storm chance each afternoon. 93 our high today. Heat index values around 105. Sunshine, warm and humid with afternoon storms. Low tonight, 76. 95 tomorrow. Pop-up showers and storms are expected, and the same holds true for Thursday, high 97. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
To Inside the Locker Room. I'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline and we'll bring Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Barry. Hey, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good.
Okay. You know, you're talking about culture in programs, and it's obvious in some, you know, it just kind of comes out, hits you between the eyes. And I like the culture your dad had, and that was culture. We freaking went. Win. We didn't care how he'd done it. We didn't care if he'd run up down the floor. But everybody that I know that went to the game that had the opportunity to go to the game when he was the coach, every time we went over there, we always felt we had a better than reasonable chance at winning. Why? Because he was on the sideline. And we expected to win. That was the culture at Alabama with our Coach Sanders. When Coach Saban, we expected to win. Coach Bryant expected to win. It was a shock if we didn't win. Now, all three of them, just alike. We didn't care how you done it. Just win, Saban. And we did. And you know what? It's fun. I love it. But Coach DeBoer, the culture at Alabama is win. Win. If you got a system, good. Can you run it? Do it. Will it win? It better.
One of the things I would say about Dad's teams, I'd say about Coach Saban's, they didn't play, and I don't know this about this team, this current version of Alabama football. They didn't play to the level of the talent of the team they were playing. They showed up ready to play every game, regardless of who was standing on the other sideline. I'm afraid sometimes these guys don't – they'll show up for the Georgia, but where was that team that played Georgia? Why wasn't that team playing Florida State? You know,
Vandy.
Now, the Georgia SEC championship game, I will say, I think they were banged up. There was a lot of injuries. They knew they were going to the playoff there, and so their depth was depleted. So I don't put as big a emphasis on that one that they got blown out. I just think they knew they were going to the playoff, and they just literally were running out of bodies. But do they always show up ready to play? There was maybe a couple of games for Coach Saban. The South Florida game down there, they didn't really show up, you know. But most of the time, they didn't play the opponent. They just were ready to play regardless of who was on the other end.
That's what I'm saying about, especially your dad's thing. That's what I mean. Every time we went into the arena, we expected to win. We thought we were going to win because he was on the sideline. And, that was his culture. That was Coach Bryant's culture. Same culture. You know, we didn't care. We didn't sit around worrying about how he got it done. We just know he got it done. You know what I mean? And, but this crowd here, now, they may turn this thing around. I'll be the first one to call in and say, look, I was stupid for saying the things I said. But I don't think I'm going to have to. And but if you got something, let's see it. You know, you high octane offense out there at Washington. Okay, well, let's see it. Quit sitting around on it. Quit doing dumb crap. Let's see the proof in the pudding. And I don't know what happens to it, but they can do some dumb stuff. And for somebody that, like, take Gus Miles on, he gets to Auburn, he's wide open. 24-7, high octane, entertaining offense, all like that. And the boy then was supposed to be there from Washington, but I haven't seen
him. You know, one of the things that I hate that we keep talking about Coach Saban, but whatever, that I loved about
– Coach Saban's gone.
Well, I understand that, but one of the things as a coach I tried to do that he did it's late in the game, and he puts those guys in, and the game is over as far as the score and all. It's just a matter of how many. But he made those guys play to a standard, not the score.
Right.
Not the score. Because he knew eventually that guy was going to be in there when the game was not decided. And so he would not tolerate you going off sides or fumbling the ball, even though you're up 38 points or whatever. I always admired that about him, Tom.
I do too. I tell you, he's one of the best coaching things he's done, and he's done at Alabama, was we played a game, and the team obviously played down to the team we were playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should have won, and he went in there and he said, I tell you what, he said, y'all played down to the team that we were playing, and he said, that ain't going to happen again. And he said, if it does, you ain't going to have a scholarship.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. You will not have a scholarship. We are not matching the other team's effort and their ability. We're better, and we're going to show that we're better. And if we don't, I'm going to find somebody else that will.
That's a simple thing. It's a simple, but I don't see a lot of coaches do that, to be honest
that's
with
right.
you.
But so. I tell you what, it's to you. I said that. I thought about it when you made that point. But that was one of the best coaching moves that he could have made at Alabama. Because they went out there and they thought, we got to skip that. I'm going to fix their rear end all over the place. He said that wasn't going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he told us. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Tom. All right.
Thanks, Tom.
I don't know what that static is. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
How are y'all?
We're good. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Eglin. Y'all talked about Hugh Freeze, and I called in, I guess, about, I don't know, half a year after he was hired, right before football season, kind of like we are now. You talked about him being a great recruiter. He was at Ole Miss, which he got in trouble for, but outside of that, guys, he kind of got, I think, what was expected out of him at Auburn. He never won the West. He didn't go to the championship game. He lost games he shouldn't have lost. And I think the reason why he was hired at Auburn, it was a combination of things. He could develop quarterbacks at one time. I don't know what happened. But guys, he beat Alabama twice in a row. And I think we had a combined 10 turnovers in two games. And I think that was a huge feather in his cap, how he got that job. And I'll say this, until Auburn stops letting Alabama live in their head 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the program ain't going to change. When I was a child growing up, the casual Auburn fan, and it's the fan, not the coaching staff, don't get it twisted, but they were okay with having four wins in a year as long as one of them was Alabama. And in my household, it just wasn't that way. It didn't matter if we beat Auburn or not. We lost, we lost. I still talk to casual fans who are that way to this day. They just want to beat Alabama. You can't gear a program and rotate them around one program that's your rival. Because if that's all you rotated around, when you get it, what's left to do? You know, you have nine losses, but one, you know, but you're what, out of three wins is Alabama, whoopee, you know? So, for a while, when Shula was at Alabama, it felt that way at Alabama. Like, Auburn, as long as we had a successful season. But I thought 2005 year, yeah, it was a bad game for Sack Brody or whatever it was called. We came into that game injured, but we still had a good season, regardless if we lost Auburn. Yeah, it sucks to lose Auburn, and it sucks to lose Tennessee too and LSU, but that's the way the cards are dealt sometimes. But that's my opinion on that. I'm not going to sit there and say that's the only reason why he was hired, but why would you hire somebody that had an overall losing record in the SEC as your head coach when you could have gotten better, in my opinion? It didn't make a lot of sense to me when they hired him. But I'm not in control down there.
I don't think he ever got the quarterback right. He never got it right. And you can't win without a quarterback.
No.
They hired him.
He handled the ball every snap.
Yeah. They hired him because he had beaten Alabama twice, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they got it down between him and Lane and Kiffin. That's what they got it down to. And the people at Auburn, some of the people at Auburn thought Lane Kiffin was twerky, different. But couldn't tell what he was going to do, so they went the other direction.
I don't think Lane was ever going with his kids, though.
What do y'all think of Lane as a coach? Do y'all think he's going to do great things at LSU, or will he do what he did at Ole Miss, or ramp it up?
I think he's a pretty good coach himself, but I don't know how well he'll do because the schedule, instead of the schedule the way Barry does, but I think he'll be okay.
I think Ole Miss is a pretty tough job, and he's turned it into a pretty darn good job. It's kind of a place to go now. You know, you got the
Grove,
you got the pretty girls, you got kind of some pretty nice facilities over there. You don't even think about Mississippi State anymore. Like, it seemed like to me the Ole Miss football program is so far past them. It's not even close. Do you feel the same way, Tony?
I do. I agree. You don't think of it. They're an afterthought. When you think of Mississippi, you think of Mississippi State, but now it is. You're right. I'm going to tell y'all, the pressure will be a lot greater on him at LSU. He could have stayed the rest of his life at Ole Miss, just from the three seasons he had. But, man, I, um, Tom is right. There's a lot of things about this coming season up with Alabama. It boils down to offensive line, or to really in this order is injury luck, schedule, and then it comes down to can we run the football when we want to. If Alabama can do that, we will have a successful year, because if you look at most championship teams up at the top, they're going to be great at rushing the football, stopping the run, and they're not going to have a lot of turnovers. If you can do that, you'll be up or near the top of the conference, and then you just let it fall where it may, go at it. You just put your hat in the ring, and that's all you can ask for.
Back to Kiffin, what you were saying, the only thing I don't think he took from Saban is Lane Kiffin every year will lose a game he's not supposed to lose. He doesn't get them ready every week. Now, he's better do that at LSU because the heat that will come down on him if you go and lose one of those games that keeps you out of the playoffs, it'll be intense, a lot more intense than what it was at Ole Miss.
Well, let me ask y'all this other question. Going back to DeGore, we've lost some games we shouldn't have lost. Do y'all think it's that, or sometimes the way you lose the football games? I mean, guys, after that opening drive against Florida State, that game wasn't close. I mean, they took that game over. The Indiana game was never in question. You're right. We were banged up in that game, too, just like we were banged up against Georgia. But it's the way Alabama loses some of these games sometimes that catches me off guard. And, again, as a coach, I do wonder his first year, did the players understand, or did he let it be known that he was in charge of that program? It might be that way now, but I know in year one, I didn't think it was. I think the players kind of ran a little roughshod over some of the assistants, possibly, and the coach. Again, I go back to you not coming off the field against Vanderbilt when you're told to, and kicking the ball after it's played. I hadn't seen that in my adult life.
I think it's different. You know, most of the time when you come to a job, it didn't open because the guy was very successful and just retired. Usually what happens, Tony, the guy's fired and you go in there and so you have to kind of change the culture. I think he still wanted to be himself, but when you walk in after Nick Saban and say, I'm going to change the culture, like everybody loved the culture. It wasn't, where Hugh Freeze, everybody was tired of their culture, the guy at Arkansas. So I think he walked into some unique circumstances taking over the Alabama job because the fans love the culture, and that's not normal in these situations.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Also, you're talking about that. I have a feeling that if Stark does not make at least a playoff appearance, or maybe even a win in the playoffs, I think he's going to be pushed out of Texas.
Really?
I do. Mm-hmm. I can see him going back to the NFL.
Yeah.
If that does happen. They're not paying all that money to have three losses in 4 years and not make playoffs, I can tell you that.
I mean, who would Texas hire? Who are you going to get?
The fodder, rumor fodder, is that, which would be a mistake, in my opinion, would be Will Muschamp. Apparently went because he's their DC now, and yeah, I think he's just a head coach, actually. I might be wrong about that. I'll double check that. But, I don't know why they would even look in that direction, seeing as how he had Florida, South Carolina. I mean, I don't know. Florida must not be as easy as a job as it used to be because the last four or five coaches in Spurrier has not really done great. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is, and they just have to have the right fit like every other college around the country does. I think I've always said this to people. I think DeVore is a great football coach. I do. But I don't know if he is a fit here yet. That's the question we got. Is he a fit? When's the last? I don't know the last time a West Coast guy come down here that spent his career in the West has come to the Southeast and been a great fit at any of the schools that they've been at. And Coach Anderson's obviously older than me. He could tell me if I'm wrong about that. But I don't know it.
Yeah.
Most of the guys have either played in the league or been born and raised in the South, and they kind of get the importance of it and what it takes to win.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he can't, guys. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as of right now, I don't know what kind of fit it's in.
I think this year will tell you a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. All right, we'll get to break here. Let's tell them about Bryant Bank, though, before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. If you want to be sure that your money is safe, you want to open up two accounts, that's great. You want to open up an account where you can bank online around the clock, where you can go in and meet people that understand your business and can help you with your business. I think I'll be very cordial to you, and you'll feel comfortable being in Bryant Bank. Bryant Bank's been there yesterday, and they do everything they possibly can to help you. And they're very smart, and they're very capable of answering all the questions that you need answered. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard on Inside the Locker.
All right, we'll take the break here, get back, get the vinegar tip. Also open up line for more phone calls, 205-342-9904. Appreciate Tony, Tom, everybody, Bryce, Philip, everybody who's called in this morning. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we've got some heavy traffic now on Old Birmingham Highway as you travel on the southbound hookup to University. And University is also stacked in both the east and westbound direction there on the hookup to 15th Old Birmingham Highway. Now, as you move about to 350.
Days. The summer event is happening now at Townsend Honda, Skyland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
For well-qualified buyers with approval from Honda Financial Services, offer ends September 8, 2026.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours.
You.
Bracelets, earrings, and precious gemstones for all occasions.
In the Tuscaloosa Galleria between Edgar's and Joey's and FincherandOsment.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Just Google US Mobile. Just go to US Mobile subreddit. Just search for US Mobile and make a decision for yourself. If you're ready, visit usmobile.com.
Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
I've been good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Inside locker room. All right, coverage for T-Town .com is the website for Michael McGuire. This dinner kit tip brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. We appreciate Michael so much being a great sponsor on Inside the Locker Room. If you're looking for any type of insurance, we have all ours with Michael. He's the best. Give him a call, 205-752-8500. What is the vinegar tip for this?
Well, this is kind of a little bit longer tip, but we got plenty of time, used up time anyway, on removing fleas from pets. And I've given some before, but these are pretty good. Apple cider vinegar can be used to reduce itching and repel fleas. Itching and repel fleas. If you obey the pets with liquid dish detergent, just go pure old liquid dish detergent, and rinse it with apple cider vinegar. That will be a start in making those fleas get away from you. The liquid detergent kills the fleas, and the apple cider vinegar prevents an reinfection or infection of fleas coming back. So that's a key. It'll kill what's on there now, but the fleas won't come back. They want to do it once. Fleas do not like the scent or the flavor of the vinegar. And they don't, the flavor will not remain on the animal. Stink won't. If you adapt the apple cider vinegar, if you adapt the apple cider vinegar on the back of the pet's heads and neck each day, now listen to me, every day, put apple cider vinegar on the back of the heads, back of the backs, for protection, it'll get rid of it. The garlic acid in the apple cider vinegar will also help reduce itching by attempting to respond and prevent itching specific nerves from your cat or dog. So as a bonus, the vinegar wrench will also make the coats, the paint pet's coat, soft and shiny. Hey, you got a soft and shiny pet that's got rid of the fleas. The fleas, because you use dishwater and dish detergent and apple cider vinegar, are not going to ever come back. You got it made. This is one of the great tips in the history of tips.
But you said you do it every other day, right?
You said
every day. I was just teasing.
You can do it every other day. You can do it every week. But it's good.
Chase, look at the text I just sent you. Daddy, you ever know how there's certain people like you can kind of get under their skin, you know, like kind of what pushes their buttons?
Oh, sure.
Well, Gary is one that I know what will push his buttons. Like Gary, Gary. I love Gary to death.
Yeah.
But I know he how to push his button. So I took a picture of the Auburn football team in the stands and the Alabama football team's in the stands. And Auburn's just looks cleaner. It looks cleaner than Alabama's. And so if you ever say something positive about Auburn against Alabama, Gary will get mad and sarcastic with you. So he's mad at me. And Chase, look at those two pictures. So you tell me, it looks like a female organized that Auburn picture. It looks like one of the coaches organized the Alabama picture, how they're sitting, how they're lined up, how they're in order. Would you agree or disagree? And I'm not saying it matters. Gary's telling me Auburn won picture day. I said, yeah, it was a blowout. So that's making him mad. Who won the picture day, Chase?
Auburn. I don't know why they have them standing. That's a little weird. A little weird. Why they have them standing? Like they should be sitting professionally, smiling like Auburn is.
Yeah.
Little, I don't know. It's just throwing me off.
It's the little things. So they won picture day. In my opinion, everybody's going to say you're too net. I'm just looking at the two. Those are kind of the old school pictures, Dad, where you put all the players in the stands and you got the coaches, you got the head coach in the middle. And then, you know, they got the managers on the top. I mean, they got offered so many people. Alabama has a lot too, but I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but
you need to tell him that if it wasn't in Auburn, there wouldn't be anything to fuss about. How would he like to go through life with it just being in Alabama and never in Auburn?
But he does not like you to. If you say something positive about Auburn, he ain't hiding it. I mean, I'm not saying I love Auburn. I don't know. But he's like you were when you were coaching. That's how he is. Yeah. He ain't got nothing for them.
I sent you
the pictures. I'm going to let you look at it. I'm going to take a break, let you look at it, and you tell me which one looks cleaner. I think the female did the Alabama one, and one of us did the Auburn one, one of us did the Alabama. Just kind of get in there and bunch together, and let's get this picture taken. And a lot of people don't want to get the picture taken. It takes too long, so whatever. All right, we'll take the break here. Open the phone lines, 205-342-9904. 9904. Now, is that going to have anything to do with winning football games? I doubt it. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports. So nice.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've had a pretty light morning thus far, and it just continues. Now, we had some earlier problems on McFarland right around Boone Rose Boulevard and Flatwoods Road. It looks like they've cleared that out of your way, and so now you're good to go. 43 southbound onto McFarland. You will slow down just a touch, and that's just intersection slow goes.
Activate and earn 5% cash back at different categories each quarter on up to $1,500 in purchases. It pays to discover. See discover.com/5 for details.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The miserable muggy weather is going to continue to stay with us each day here through the end of the week with a pop-up shower or storm chance each afternoon. 93 our high today. Heat index values around 105. Sunshine, warm and humid with afternoon storms. Low tonight, 76. 95 tomorrow. Pop-up showers and storms are expected, and the same holds true for Thursday, high 97. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome back to Inside. Like, I sent you those pictures, Dan. You look at the
two. Embarrassing.
This is bad, isn't it?
They're embarrassing. I'm ashamed.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
I thought it was bad, too. I thought the Auburn one.
I did, too. I thought it was country come to town on those.
Everybody just stand. Everybody get in there, get in between. Just, I don't care what order you get it. Just get in there, and let's get this picture taken. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Alabama basketball, I did see they've got a new, it looks really good, too, a new scoreboard in the middle. I think it's got the four panels and a lot of information on there, and I'm not sure what it costs, but they did say that it would indicated that if they ever built a new arena, that scoreboard in the middle could go to the new arena, so it's not just for Coleman Coliseum. So that'll be a nice addition.
Sure will. I looked at the arena. Arena looked nice.
Yeah, but that picture, I don't know. They gotta have to redo that picture. Somebody needs to look at that. Whoever over that picture, they got to fix it. So, anyway, I wanted you to see that to make sure I wasn't chasing. I weren't chasing. Why are they standing up? I don't know. Chase, anything else on that pick? I guess I've overdone it, but
Some of them are just mean mugging. They don't like to show their smart, like their white teeth. Like, I know they take care of their teeth. Just like happy to be there. Like, I don't feel like they forced it.
Yeah, it is like they're excited about the picture. So maybe I wouldn't, they had more time because they were just going back to the Marriott. And
I mean, going back to Marriott.
They weren't as rushed as Alabama. They had to get to their. Whatever they're going to do. I'm not saying anything wrong with the Marriott. I'm not saying anything wrong with how Alabama's doing it. I could see both of them, to be quite honest. Yeah. Then at the end of the day, it probably don't matter.
I would like to say on my behalf, I went into an MRI yesterday and I got through it.
Oh, you didn't wiggle?
Well, the first time I went in there, they took me out. Get this one. Get this one, fans. I said, let's go back to it. They said, if you don't come and go back to this again, your insurance won't pay it, and it's going to cost you
$1,100. Oh, my goodness. If you don't do it again?
Yeah, if I don't do it, it's going to cost you $1,100.
Mm.
And I said, well, I don't want to go back and do it again, but I ain't going to pay no $1,100.
Yeah.
And so I went back.
Yeah.
And it was... The MRI, when you have a cursed person do an MRI, folks, be sure that that thing is open. A lot of people get claustrophobia.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Galen McCullough tomorrow at 7:30. We'll have Justin at 8, and then we'll have Bill Cameron. We'll ask Bill Cameron about I'll send those pictures to Bill Cameron and ask him who won picture day. But I got Gary. Is Gary coming in today? He's mad at me. I'm going to deal with him when I get off the show. So anyway, it is what it is. All right. Appreciate everybody listening. Chase, have a great day, my man. Appreciate you helping us out. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.